We turn in the Word of God to Joshua 2. Tonight it's Rahab revisited. If you recall, about a year and a half to 2 years ago, we preached on the women of the Bible, and Rahab was one of them. And I preached from this passage that we'll be preaching on tonight out of Hebrews 11. That's why I say it's Rahab revisited. You cannot very well skip over this passage if we're preaching a series of sermons on Hebrews 11. So we're going to preach concerning Rahab again. And in that connection, we'll read Joshua 2 once again. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go, view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." The woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of her house, of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord," and notice the capitalized Lord there, she's really referring to Jehovah, "for ye have heard how, we have heard how Jehovah dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." The men answered her, "Our life for years, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According unto your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hands all of the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Our text this evening is found once again in Hebrews 11, this time verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Jericho was destroyed. The walls of the city had fallen flat after the march of the armies of Israel around them for 7 days. God had given the nation of Israel the victory over this first foe that she now had confronted in the Promised Land. Prior to the destruction of Jericho, however, Joshua had sent 2 spies to search out the countryside and the city in order to determine the lay of the land and the strength of the cities there round about. These spies were sent out before Israel actually had crossed the Jordan River into the land of Canaan. The gates, therefore, of the city of Jericho were yet open to the public. People came, people went, doing their business, because the nation of Israel was still somewhat removed. After all, they were on the other side of that large river, the Jordan River. We learned last time, when we considered Joshua 6, however, that changed. Now Jericho, this was because of Israel, was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And that was no doubt because of the visit of the spies to that city now, and the nation of Israel subsequently to sending them out had crossed over the Jordan River and were camped very, very close to that city of Jericho. King of Jericho had learned his lesson, and he and his mighty men of valor were now weakened because their courage had failed them. They had heard of the great works that God had done on the other side of the Jordan River in delivering the land of the giants into the hands of the nation of Israel. And now the crossing of the Jordan River, and everyone in the land of Canaan, especially in Jericho, were very, very afraid. The men that had escaped from the city of Jericho, after having spied out that city, had escaped detection because of a woman named Rahab. The spies had fled to her house at night. Rahab hid them. And there we learn of the event of our text tonight. Rahab revealed her faith by means of the hiding of those spies. And then when the henchmen of the king of Jericho were no longer watching her house, she also let down those 2 men on the outside of the wall of Jericho from the window of her house to the ground, and they escaped into the hillside. So it is that we study in connection with this event, Hebrews 11:31, an event that actually now took place prior to the destruction of Jericho. The writer to the Hebrews in our text tonight addresses what took place at that time as an event that had already passed. Notice, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. In other words, she didn't perish when the city of Jericho was destroyed, but this woman named Rahab and her family were spared from a destruction that had already taken place. That was true because prior to Jericho's utter destruction, Rahab hid the spies. So the account that we learned tonight was an account that actually took place before what we learned last week, and yet nevertheless is in the context of that fall of Jericho. Faith of Rahab is unique from the other accounts of faith that we have considered here in Hebrews 11. And it is so because, well, Rahab was not an Israelite. She had not been born or raised in the line of the covenant. She was not a Hebrew woman born into the line of Abraham. On the contrary, she was actually one who had been born out of the cursed line of Ham, the line of Canaan. She was a Canaanite through and through. The account before us tonight, therefore, reveals that although God does indeed save his church in the line of continued generations, nevertheless, God also grafts others into that line of his church. But what stands on the foreground, once again, in the Word of God before us tonight, is the faith of this woman. Rahab was aware of God's promises to the nation of Israel and was convicted in her heart that those promises that God had made to Israel were indeed going to be fulfilled. And that became evident in the words that we will later consider that she spoke also to the spies. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Rahab, by God's grace, was given the eyes to see the salvation that God had given to the nation of Israel. And she chose to cast in her lot with that people. So we consider then, by faith, Rahab receives the spies. By faith, Rahab receives the spies. In the first place, we want to take a look at her faith, and secondly, the works that followed from her faith, and then finally her example to you and me. As we noticed, Rahab was a Canaanite, probably of the people that inhabited the central part there of Canaan, and those were the Jebusites. Jericho was a horribly wicked city, which means that Rahab was one who had in her life participated in the horrible sins of that city. The idol worship that was found there and the fornication that evidently abounded in that city. We are told in our text, as well as in Joshua, that Rahab was a harlot. That means she sold her body for sexual favors. She was a woman of ill repute, one that we would label today as a prostitute. Her home was a place of prostitution. In fact, from the account we read in Joshua, it appears that it was a place where men would pay to lodge for an hour or two, or perhaps for an evening or two, in order to indulge their pleasures. It probably was advertised as a place of lodging, since the two spies from Israel chose her house specifically to stay for a night before leaving the city, being ignorant, of course, what was involved in the lodging there in her house. And it is for this reason that some commentators would like to say about Rahab that she was nothing more than an innkeeper and that she ran a motel of sorts. She was not really a harlot, but that is not the scriptural account that we receive either here in Hebrews or in Joshua that we read. Both the Hebrew and the Greek terms for harlot cannot be mistaken. She was a whore. Her home was used for the specific purpose of practicing her illicit profession. And neither can it be said, as unbelief likes to accuse as well, that these two spies had stopped there for just a few moments of pleasure. That wasn't true. The spies were unfamiliar with the city of Jericho, were unfamiliar with her lodging place, and seeing a place simply to lodge, they stopped there with no intent whatsoever in their pure hearts to indulge in sin. The account leaves no reason for any other interpretation. Now, from the account here in Hebrews 11, as well as the account of James in James 2, verse 25, we find that this woman, Rahab, was, in fact, a believer. We well understand, don't we, that the life of a harlot and the life of a believer are incompatible with one another. You can't be both. A young woman cannot live by faith in God and at the same time openly and unrepentantly live in sin against the seventh commandment. This implies for us something of Rahab, therefore. At some point, we don't know exactly when, God had worked in the heart of this woman. We learn from our text that she received the spies with peace, which means she did not immediately send them away in hatred or in fear of who they were. She received the spies into her house, hid them, and even sent them away. And that means prior to this visit of the spies to her house, God worked in her heart. Like we said, exactly when, we don't know. Perhaps it was when the fear of the nation of Israel on the other side of Jordan and what their God was able to do, perhaps that fear worked in her heart by God's grace, a fear of God. When? We don't know. But at that moment in her life, she fell to her knees in repentance over her horrible sins that she had committed, no doubt confessed them before Jehovah, and the Lord worked in her heart not only that repentance, but faith too in Him. That all of this is true was revealed in the conversation that Rahab had with the spies. And we read of that conversation now in Joshua 2, verses 9 through 13. She said unto the men, I know that Jehovah hath given you the land. Not, and I know that your God, whatever his name is, I know that your God has given you the land. That's not how she talked to them. She said, I know that Jehovah has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other shore, other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt. My heart melted too. Our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man. And now notice, for Jehovah your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. That was a confession that this woman was making. I believe that Jehovah God is a God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. And in that confession, she indeed does use the name Jehovah, not your God, because that would mean that that was just another God among many other gods that were being served, but Jehovah, God's covenant name, Jehovah is God. I believe that. I know that that is true. My gods and those of this land cannot be God. Jehovah is God in heaven and earth. And further, she makes the spies swear to her, not in the name of her gods, not in the name of their gods, but she makes them swear to her in the name of Jehovah to save her and her household alive when Israel, of a surety, was going to destroy that city of Jericho. Sometime in her life, therefore, prior to this visit of the spies, probably after having learned the presence of Israel, God turned her heart from her horrible sin of fornication and in now obedience to his commandments. So the place of her lodging, where these spies evidently turned in, was really no longer a house of prostitution. The Lord had changed her by the time that these men had come, and maybe her house was at this point simply a house for lodging. With faith, people of God, always comes repentance. You can't have one without the other. She must have repented And that means she must have turned away from her sin and now in faith embraced the God of this nation of Israel. But what stands out here, both in Hebrews 11 as well as in James 2:25, which we'll look at a little later, is the faith of this woman. Obviously, if there was faith, there was repentance. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, those who did not have faith. In all the instances recorded in Hebrews 11, the aspect of faith that is emphasized is the activity of faith in the life of a child of God. You see, initially, when a child of God is brought to salvation, whether that be in infancy, whether that be in your teenage years, whether that be in an adult, when a child of God is brought to salvation, sometimes without even knowing it, like I say, could be in infancy, God works in that person's heart the ability to believe. And that is a certain power that God works in us, a certain potential to believe. And God does that by taking that child of God and grafting him into our Lord Jesus Christ. We've spoke of this grafting repeatedly through our series. The result is, of course, that when you are grafted into our Lord Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus Christ flows forth out of him and into us. That takes place, of course, at the very time of our regeneration. When grafted into Christ, a person all of a sudden becomes repelled by sin. He doesn't like sin, or she doesn't like sin, and turns from that sin or wicked ways. So this power of faith that God works in us at the time of regeneration is something that is seated in the very depths of a person's heart. God changes a person from within, in the very depths of their being, from an unbeliever, one who doesn't believe, into a believer. And that actuates that child of God. I mean, let's face it, it just doesn't leave us the same as we were before. It actuates us. The life of Jesus Christ now dwells within our hearts. And it's that life of Jesus Christ that turns into an activity in the life of the child of God. And that activity includes two things. The Heidelberg Catechism shows that for you and me. It includes knowledge and it includes confidence. Those two things make up the activity of faith in the child of God. And as we said, this is really what's on the forefront here in all of the different accounts that we learn of in Hebrews 11. It is this faith that is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Rahab's faith became the evidence to her that Jehovah God was real and that he was the one who reigned both in heaven and on earth. She could not see him with her eyes as she could see all of her earthly idols that she served, her carvings out of wood or stone or marble or what have you. But she knew by faith, that is with the eyes now of faith, that Jehovah God was the real God of heaven and earth. So that faith became sight to her. She knew this God. And now she placed her trust in that God. It was evidence to her, because she could now see him with the eyes of faith, that God was God. And so she could confess his name also. Furthermore, faith was alone evidence to her that God was indeed going to destroy. He's going to destroy not only Jericho, but all the kings of Canaan. She believed that too. That was not something that she could see with her eyes, but she knew through faith that that's just exactly what this God of heaven and earth was going to do. She says that so much as that in Joshua 2, verse 9. I know, there's the knowledge of faith, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land, not just Jericho, all the inhabitants of the land, faint because of you. We have heard what God has done at the Red Sea. We have seen what God has done when you, this little nation, comes in and kills these mighty nations on the other side of Jordan. And it proves to us that, this proves to me, that this God is truly God. Something that didn't happen yet, that God gave to the nation of Israel the land of Canaan, but she believed that it was going to happen. Her faith was the substance of things hoped for. She hoped. She hoped, people of God, against hope, that God somehow would, by his grace, number her among his chosen ones in the nation of Israel. Now, we do find out later on, of course, that he did. She married right into the line of Jesus Christ, became a mother of our Savior. But she hoped that at this point. She asked that her house be spared from the destruction of Jericho. She asked the spies to swear by the name of Jehovah to spare her, to save her, to save his her family. Why? Because now there was also in the heart of this woman to cast in her lot with the people of God in this world. She wanted to be numbered among Israel and no longer among the wicked of this world. She wanted to separate herself from the wicked. That's faith. That's faith. She had firm faith, firm hope in that God of Israel, that she too would be allowed into his favor and into his fellowship. I say, Rahab hoped that, people of God. And she hoped against hope, because I am sure that this young woman was very much aware of her own unworthiness. She knew that she, above all people, was not worthy of being one of God's people, but worthy only of being cast aside and destroyed with the rest of the city of Jericho. A horrible sinner who pleaded on the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, even though she didn't know him personally, perhaps, at that point, because Jesus Christ had not come yet for God's people, and her faith was very, very young at this point. Swear to me, by God's name, Jehovah's name, that I will be spared. In order to reveal the faith of Rahab, we have jumped ahead just a little bit in the account that we have before us tonight. The two men of Israel that lodged in Rahab's house were not, technically speaking, spies as we would think of them. I mean, they didn't sneak into the city of Jericho, lurking in the shadows here and there and hiding in the various alleys and searching out this and searching out another in order to find perhaps the weak point in their defense. Joshua did not send them strictly to the city of Jericho. He sent them to spy out the land, the lay of the land, mountainous, flat regions. Yes, Jericho lay in the land. So they went into the city of Jericho, walked right through his gates like any other visitor or person doing business in the city, and they walked through the streets of the city searching it out. The word spy in the Word of God before us tonight actually means inspector. They were sent by Joshua simply to inspect the land, and that included the city of Jericho. Joshua wanted to know what he and his armies would be up against. The king of Jericho, however, interpreted this intrusion of these two men of Israel as an act of war. Of course, he was terrified of Israel, as Rahab said he was. As soon as the king found out that these men had come to lodge in Jericho, he immediately set out to arrest these men. And it was not as if these spies, once again, were being hotly pursued through the city, and they were hiding here and they were hiding there from the pursuit of the king's men. And then they passed Rahab's house, and they suddenly ducked into this house in order to get away from the king's men. They had gone there to lodge. That was the reason they went into her house. It had been reported to the king of Jericho, however, that these men had been seen entering specifically into this house of Rahab. So the king sent the men right to that house. They stood outside of the door of Rahab's house, and they called to her, "Send out the men that came to you to find a night's lodging in your house. You probably do not know Rahab, but these men are Israelites who have come to spy out our city and our weaknesses." Rahab knew that already. She had already received the spies with peace. As we mentioned earlier, unbelief would have retaliated, wouldn't it have? Would have retaliated at these men with terror at their presence, and would have refused to allow them to enter into her house. Unbelief would have resulted in immediate rejection of these two Israelites and a report immediately to the authorities, too, of their presence. But God had already worked in the heart of this woman. She believed that it was true what she had heard concerning the God of Israel, and she received the spies with peace, which means she received them as friends, not as enemies. Her intent was to shelter them, and as she soon discovered, to protect them too from those who sought to take them captive. By faith, she received the spies. At that moment, she had thrown in her lot with the people of God, and the fruit of her faith was works. Rahab, in faith, received the spies, a work. She hid the spies. That was a work. She helped the spies escape. That was a work. You see, faith always results in good works in a person's life. These works become evidence of a true and a living faith. But then we continue with the account before explaining that somewhat, so that we can keep up on the order of the events. The king's men were now at Rahab's door. She quickly sent the spies, of course, to the roof of her house, telling them to hide themselves under a pile of very neatly arranged stacks of flax. We learn in verse 8 that before they even had time to hide themselves, verse 8 of Joshua 2, to hide themselves, Rahab opened the door and confronted the men that were sent to her from the king. Again, an act of faith. She received the spies. She actually hid them from the king of Jericho. One addition, of course, to the account that isn't mentioned in Hebrews 11 or in James, a rather glaring omission. We made mention of that the last time, too, we considered Rahab. Rahab lied. She lied to the men who came to take these men out of her house. "Oh, yes, two men came to my house, but I didn't know where they were from, and I didn't know who they were. And they stayed a while, and then they left when it turned dark," right about the time of the closing of the gates of the city. So that wasn't so long ago. If you hurry up, you'll get outside those gates and follow them. You're bound to find them before they get away. They just left. Rahab lied. And she lied to protect the spies. Yes, her faith was a newfound faith. And she did not trust at this point that God himself would have protected the spies no matter what. But God, in his providence, of course, used her lie to keep the spy safe. The ends, however, never justify the means. And we will not attempt to justify tonight the lie of Rahab. But it is striking that neither Hebrews 11 or James 2 make mention of this lie as an act of faith. The king's men departed believing her lie, and evidently they didn't even go into her house to check it. At least it doesn't seem that they did. There was one more act, one more work of faith. Rahab sent the spies out another way. The men of the king went one way. She sent the spies out another way. And that's recorded for us, too, in Joshua 2, verse 15. She let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. So she let them out of a window that faced the outside of the wall, and that by evidently a scarlet rope, and they reached the ground and ran off into the mountains to spend a few days over there before returning to the other side of the Jordan River. So all of that was done. Done. I mean, that's what a work is, huh? When we do something. All of that was done in faith. All of these were, in fact, good works that Rahab performed in her life at that point. And we emphasize that tonight. All of the account of Hebrews 11 emphasizes the works of God's people that flow out of faith. But we emphasize that tonight to show that the faith spoken of here in our text was a true faith, a living faith, a genuine faith, not a feigned or a fake faith. We talked about that in adult Bible study this past week. It is a faith that, a fake faith is a faith that says very nice things about God, that say very nice things about Jesus Christ, that say very nice things about salvation, but it's a faith that does nothing. A living faith, people of God, people who have faith, a living faith is an active faith. It's a faith that produces good works in the life of a believer. And that's the point now of that passage in James 2. Almost hurts our Reformed ears to read that passage in James 2. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? If Rahab's faith were a dead faith, beloved saints, without fruit, without works, she would not have received the spies in peace. She would not have defied the king's men. She would not have helped the spies to escape. By faith, that is now, through faith, we are saved. Not, mind you, on account of faith are we saved. Not on the basis of faith are we saved. And neither on account of the works that are the fruit of that faith are we saved. We are not righteous before God. We are not justified before God on the basis or on the grounds of our works. Faith is a means by which you and I are found in Jesus Christ alone. Faith is a work of God in our hearts that binds us to Jesus Christ. And what Christ has performed for you and me on the cross is what justifies us or makes us righteous before God. But he does it by means of through the bond of faith that unites us to Christ. But that faith that unites you and me to Christ must be a living faith, not a fake faith, not a faith by which we deceive ourselves that we're one of God's children when we really, really do not believe on Him in our lives. Now, do I know that I've got a true and a living faith? Well, a true and a living faith brings forth good works in my life. Not works that I bring forth in order to prove to myself that I've got that faith. And those works aren't good works anymore, you know. Not works that I perform because I believe that by performing them, I am a person now who has faith. That's not why I bring forth good works. Good works flow with a living faith. But if it's a fake faith, you won't see the works. A lot of people can sit in church and say they've got faith, but then their life in this world doesn't show it. They're very seldom found in prayer. Their family life is a big mess. And the list can go on. The young people will go out and live like the wicked world around them. Then they come back and piously say, well, I have faith. No. The true faith brings forth good works. And that's what the account here before us with Rahab reveals to us too. This woman believed in Jehovah God. And that faith of hers was genuine. And it revealed itself in everything that took place now in her house that night. The life of Christ is a life that takes hold of the life of the child of God so that they know God, they trust in God, and as a result, they walk in a godly way as well. Works of Rahab are evidence of that faith. And by that faith, Rahab did not perish with those who did in Jericho who did not believe. She and those with her in her house were saved. And again, we read of that, don't we, at the very end now of Joshua chapter 6. That was the chapter, actually, that we read last week, but we didn't read the last few verses of that chapter. In verses 21 through 23, we read this. And the nation of Israel utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And then a little bit later, verse 23, 2, and the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. They took them and put them outside of the camp of Israel. A little bit later in verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent out to spy out Jericho. Now, when speaking of the escape, her escaping the judgment of God upon Jericho for its sin, we speak just a tad bit more regarding Rahab. We speak of the salvation of this woman. You see, Rahab was justified by faith. I know James speaks of her being justified by works. But we must understand the proper relationship now between faith and works, because faith and works are not synonymous with each other. Faith is not a work or does not also involve performing good works. Works are not a part of faith. And yet Scripture points out that works are always a fruit of that faith. They flow out of that faith. And the works that are evidence of Rahab's faith simply reveal a salvation that God had already worked in the heart of this woman and applied to her by means of faith. What? Feeling a bit uncomfortable? poor as a saint? Yes. She was one of God's elect people from all eternity. And she was one who was saved in the blood of Jesus Christ. Rahab was justified by faith. Her sins were covered over in the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ would pay on the cross for her sins too, as she looked forward in faith to Him. Through the work of Christ, her guilt for the horrible sins that she had committed in her life, that guilt was entirely removed. A prostitute belonged to Jesus Christ? She surely did. Her faith bound her to the Messiah who was to come. And she was viewed by God now in Christ, her sin being now covered in the sight of heaven. She surely is a saint. And as such, she's an example to you and me in our lives. An example? In this lies the beauty of the account that we have before us tonight. There is no sin, beloved saints, that is so great that God cannot forgive us of. God forgives sinners. A prostitute? Yep. A woman who sold her body to men for gain. She can be forgiven. And God oftentimes works repentance in the hearts of sinners of that sort and then gives them forgiveness. A murderer? Yeah. A homosexual? Yes. A drunk? Yes. The only sin that God does not forgive is stubborn unrepentance. Jericho perished in stubborn disobedience and unrepentance against God and His commandments. Rahab, a harlot, was brought to her knees in sorrow and repentance for the sins that she had committed and faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, she was forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the call always goes forth. It goes forth throughout all of the world, but it goes forth into the church of Jesus Christ too. And that calling is this: repent of sin and believe. That goes for us too. Daily sorrow over sin. Come to Christ alone, where there is forgiveness in His blood. And those whom God draws by His grace to Himself, as He did Rahab, He will in no wise cast out of His presence. Salvation is a free and is an unmerited gift. And it's a good thing, or else everyone sitting here tonight would not have a place in heaven. In this godly woman of the Bible, we find but another example of the amazing work of God's grace. And it's comforting to know. It's comforting. For those whom God takes from the outside and grafts them into the church of Jesus Christ, it's comforting to know that. But it's comforting for all of us to know, even those who are born into the church of Christ. God saves sinners like us. Now, in that knowledge, we go forth, don't we? And we walk in the works that such a living faith produces in you and me. Amen. Gracious Father, we are thankful unto Thee for the mercy that Thou hast shown to us, just as Thou didst show it to Rahab the harlot. Thou hast brought us to our knees in sorrow over our sins. Thou hast caused us daily to look to the cross of Jesus Christ, where alone we find forgiveness for our sins. And we're thankful for the example of Rahab, in whose heart Thou didst work faith. We pray that thou wilt continue to bless us as thy children so that thy word might live within our hearts, we might go forth in holiness in our lives. And we ask too that as we continue to observe and consider the examples of faith in the chapter before us, that we might be confirmed the more in our own faith. Forgive us of the sins of this night. Go with us in this week to come. For Jesus' sake we ask. Amen.